A Game Warden's children's book, titled A Cowboy in the Woods, is a story of Bobby, a boy who spends the whole summer observing wildlife, writing notes in his notebook, fishing with his dad, and keeping track of all the animals in his neighborhood, while trying to solve a neighborhood mystery. What he discovers is more than just an appreciation for the natural world. The idea for this book came from Wayne Saunders' own childhood experiences, growing up and exploring the woods and streams and lakes and ponds of his native New Hampshire. The love of nature instilled in his childhood led him to a career as a conservation officer. Wayne Saunders is a retired lieutenant conservation officer from the New Hampshire Fish and Game Department. Lindsay Webb is a naturalist, wildlife biologist, and environmental educator. Together, they collaborated with wildlife artist Ashley Mayers to produce The Cowboy in the Woods, the story of a boy whose love of nature leads him in unexpected directions. Available at wardenswatch.com and Amazon. Warden's Watch Podcast is now on Patreon, combining the Thin Green Line Podcast and the Warden's Watch Podcast on Patreon to bring member-exclusive extra content, both video, audio, and with product deals as well. Become a member to support our podcast and get something extra. Search Warden's Watch Podcast on Patreon.
We love our children. We protect them. We guide them. We prepare them for life in the world. With all that we do, from deep in our hearts, we cannot control all things. Life-threatening illnesses and disabilities affect far too many of our children each year. While we cannot change the circumstance, we can make dreams come true. Dreams to provide hope, to provide spiritual healing and strength, to provide moments of happiness and relief in the hardest of times. We can give a glimmer of light and hope in a time of darkness and despair. Join huntofalifetime.org to help make dreams come true, to provide hope for children with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Hunt of a Lifetime is a nonprofit organization fulfilling dreams for hunting and fishing trips to youth 21 and under with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Visit huntofalifetime.org to learn how you can make a difference.
Please join me, Game Warden Wayne Saunders, and other Game Wardens on our adventures, protecting wildlife, saving lives, and having fun, all while serving the public and the natural resources of our planet. Listen to the tales and experience of those who work in the outdoors while being entertained with stories about encounters with poachers, wildlife investigation, murder investigation, near-death experiences, search and rescue missions, wildlife interactions from game wardens around the country and around the world. When I retired, I realized I couldn't let go of that legacy, but rather wanted to share the passion, the commitment, and the stories of those men and women that call themselves game wardens. This is Game Warden Wayne Saunders, and this is Warden's Watch. Bonus podcast, Hunt, New Zealand, with Brad Daniford. And boy, after that first episode, I know you guys were just waiting on the edge of your seats for the second round of New Zealand and learning about New Zealand, worrying about the enforcement in New Zealand, working about the fisheries, the wildlife, just a really dynamic conversation we have had with Brad.
Yeah, it's been great, man. And, you know, it's kind of a unique, special episode given a long, you know, relationship across the pond, so to speak, with Brad. And some of the stuff not only that he's done in the field as far as enforcement work, but training, you know, training on a large level of trying to coordinate good training, update tactical level proficiency, and kind of modernize and be part of that mindset overseas that, of course, we have been pushing on this side of the pond in the U.S. for so many years. So there's that element, too. And I can't get enough New Zealand stories, Wayne, just having been over there. And he keeps dangling the carrot to come back, right?
Yeah, no, it's on my bucket list for sure.
Yeah.
After this podcast, it was just epic.
Yeah, it kind of pushed us over the edge. And it's a place that I think everybody should visit at least once to see the beauty and the grandeur of that great province. But at the same time, get some hunting and get some fishing in and just be around those waterways. That's all I can say. It's absolutely mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. And having been all over the globe on some pretty cool hunts thus far, it's definitely in the top three. And, nice. And Brad kind of brings that to us. So check it out and get over there if you can. It's absolutely worth it.
No, that's just great. And you know, the thing with the Thin Green Line and Warden's Watch for 2022, we've come into it with Jay Crafter from Invictus Canine that does a lot of African work, and now we're in New Zealand. So 2022 has gone international and gone really quick international. So it's pretty exciting thing that we can share these stories from around the world at this point on our podcasts. 2022, we've come into it with Jay Crafter from Invictus Canine that does a lot of African work, and now we're in New Zealand. So 2022 has gone international and gone really quick international. So it's pretty exciting thing that we can share these stories from around the world at this point on our podcasts. Oh, so we're back with Brad Danenford from New Zealand, and we started talking about hunting, and I just had to share this with the listeners because New Zealand sounds like a really cool place to go and to spend some time hunting. And this goes for non-residents too, right, Brad? Or is it just for New Zealand people?
Yeah. No, the only thing that, you know, I think we said earlier, the only thing you need a license for in New Zealand is duck hunting and trout fishing. And there is only in the last couple of years they've introduced a non-resident license for trout fishing. But in terms of duck hunting, you can come over here and, you know, the limits are pretty generous. Where I am, you can shoot 20 ducks a day. Some places, like down in Southland, I'd have to check what their regs are down there, but a couple of years ago, their limit on mallards was like 25 mallards a day. Pretty, there's lots of ducks. I used to live for duck hunting, and I would most years, or I can't think of many years where I didn't shoot over 400 ducks a year, 500 ducks a year.
Wow.
There's lots of ducks. Had some pretty good spots though. But yeah, with hunting, if you want to come over to New Zealand and go hunting, no limit, it's no license. I always say our season is pretty strict. It starts on the 1st of January and ends on the 31st of December every year. And, you know, you can, you can go hunting. And, it's interesting. We've got a lot of deer. There's a lot of deer here in New Zealand. And
what kind of deer?
So we've got about seven and some other wildlife that's appearing at the moment. So we got, I think there's seven species. I'm going to have to think about it, but we've got your elk. We call them wapiti. So they're down in one part of New Zealand, primarily, which is fjordland, which is about as close to Alaska as you're going to get. And I'd really encourage people, have a look on Google and search some images of New Zealand and places like Fiordland, which is massive glaciers and, you know, huge big fjords. And we also have whitetail here. They're on Stewart Island and at the very bottom of the South Island. We have red deer, which we're probably most famous for, the red stags.
Yes.
We have sambar deer, which are huge. They're the sort of size of elk, if not bigger. They're a massive animal. We have roosa deer. We have fallow deer. So what's that? Is that seven or something? It's about seven species.
Yeah.
And look, what New Zealand's famous for, and what you'll see the in a lot of the hunting magazines and that sort of thing, are these massive red deer. But to be fair, most of those are safari park hunting, where, you know, you go to a farm and you pay $30,000 and they will guarantee you'll shoot a 32-point red stag. Well, let me assure you, a 32-point red stag is not a natural animal. You know, that's
right.
Just not an animal. That's been bred for hunting and yuga. But there is plenty of public land hunting in New Zealand, or private land, but just normal hunting, not where they have animals that have been bred for hunting. You know, there's lots and lots of wild deer running around. And, you know, a big red stag, you know, anything over sort of 12 points is, 12 to sort of 14, 16, that's a trophy wild animal, a true wild animal.
Nice.
And, and they're magnificent animals. And, you can go hunting any day of the week or month you want. No season, no license, no limit.
You're coming into the popular time though. Your fall is right now, isn't it? You're coming into your fall.
Yeah, so we have what's called the roar, the red deer roar, and the roar is the rutting season, you know, the mating season, and that's where the big red stags get pretty wound up, and that's a huge thing here in New Zealand. Lots of lots of hunting available on private land, on public land. So in any of the national parks, national forests, conservation areas, you just need to get a permit from the Department of Conservation. It doesn't cost anything. They just want to know how many people are in the forests hunting. Mm-hmm. And you go in there and you hunt. You know, and one, we have a beach place on the other coast of the North Island, and we were up there a couple of weeks ago, and went out with one of my local mates up there, and he said, "Oh, should we go for a hunt?" Yeah, sure. And this will just absolutely horrify some of your listeners, but we went out on dusk, and his son shot a what we call a spiker. I guess you'd call him a 2-point, I think, or yeah, you know,
spike horn,
a young animal. And he shot that at a right just on dusk, and then we pulled the spotlight out, and we spent. And which is quite legal on private land. You can't spotlight on public land on like a Department of Conservation forest, or right. And that's really around a safety issue because there might be trampers or, you know, hikers in there or whatever. But on private land, as long as you're not shooting from a road, if you're in a 4x, you know, private land, you can spotlight. And there is a lot of deer, and they are oppressed because there is no natural predation in New Zealand. We have no bears. We have no cougars or
wolves. Well,
yeah, nothing, nothing. So nothing predates on deer. We also have animals like Himalayan tar, which are a magnificent mountain goat. I get a cross between a mountain goat and a mountain sheep, as the name sort of suggests. They come from the Himalayas.
Yeah.
We have chamois. We have these incredible species, and if you are prepared to go and, you know, grab a rifle and go into a forest and you can chop her in, you know, helicopter in or pack in, you can go hunting anytime you want. So again, it's you know, it's quite different. And yet, funnily, I see far more deer when I'm in the States than I do when I'm in New Zealand. If you're just driving around in New Zealand, you won't see a deer. and the reason being is because if a deer sticks its head out,
it gets shot. Someone...
so people go, man, you must have deer. You must see them in your gardens. No, you never. Most of them are in bush. They're in the forests, but there's a lot of them. But they're pretty wary because when I was in the States, you see them come and walk. You know, if it's not hunting season, they're walking in through people's gardens. And man, if that happened in New Zealand, there'd be a barrage of shots going off as they got shot. So yeah, no, we're pretty fortunate. And you know, a number of officers who have come over here, or guys that I've met in the States, you know, some of them have gone on some of those onto some of those safari hunting type things. And look, it's still cool. Yeah, it's an incredible country, and it's not behind the wire or anything. You know, they're massive big farms, but you know that there's some big animals there, and they have been bred and put there for hunting. Other guys come over and just go, no, I just want to go and hunt, you know, normal hunting like anyone else would be doing. And, it doesn't cost them any, you know, there's no, that's free. You just get over here and grab a pack and a tent or stay in a Department of Conservation hut and away you go hunting. So, nice. Yeah, there's lots of deer. In fact, in New Zealand and just after World War II, the deer population absolutely exploded because there was no hunting because everyone was away at war. And the government actually set up, they were called the Deer Colours, and the government employed hundreds of people purely whose job was to shoot deer to keep the population under control. And apparently in the first year they shot 3 million deer. Wow. And then they just stopped, they stopped counting. So yeah, there are a lot of deer. There are a lot of deer, and now the government spends. You know, ironically, your government agencies spend a lot of money enforcing and protecting deer. The Department of Conservation spends millions of dollars every year shooting deer and chamois and tar. They have professional hunters whose job working for the Department of Conservation is to go out and shoot as many deer and goats and tar and chamois as they possibly can. Wow. Because they're an introduced species, and we have our environment. A lot of the native plant species are decimated. Native forests get decimated by deer because they're, you know, the forests have evolved over millions of years without having these species there. And of course, once the deer get into the forests, they make a hell of a mess. So, the Department of Conservation have just had an aerial shooting program on Himalayan tar in the South Island. And they went up in a matter of a month or so, shot 10,000 tar out of helicopters using M4s, and they just shoot them and leave them, which obviously upsets the hunting fraternity because these are magnificent animals. They are just the most incredible animals, but there's just too many of them.
Right.
There's just too many of them.
Yeah, we don't want disease and that and everything else that comes with overpopulation, so... No, it's too bad. We need more hunters.
Yeah. Well, and look, the government has said that, you know, they'll work with hunters and they'd rather not have to spend millions of dollars shooting deer and tar, but we just don't have enough hunters here to do it. Or I mean, some of the terrain's pretty tough. And as I said, in some of these places, imagine hunting in Alaska. That's the kind of some of the areas you're hunting in. And it's the only way to really effectively hunt them is with helicopters. And they they have shooters hanging off the sides of these helicopters just shooting as many animals as they can. Wow. So it's a...
it's something. It's something we don't have in the U.S., that's for sure. if you guys were a little bit closer.
Come on down and help us out. Come down and help us out with your problem.
Oh, well, thanks, Brad. I really appreciate you coming back on and sharing the hunting aspect of it. So that's great, and talking about that. So appreciate it, and we'll do that segment somewhere somehow. We'll fit it in.
Sounds good. And hey, look, mate, try and get over here some stage. You'll love to show you around. And,
No, it's on my bucket list. You might see me and John at the same time, actually.
Sounds great.
Please join me, Game Warden Wayne Saunders, and other game wardens on our adventures protecting wildlife, saving lives, and having fun, all while serving the public and the natural resources of our planet. Listen to the tales and experience of those who work in the outdoors while being entertained with stories about encounters with poachers, wildlife investigation, murder investigation, near-death experiences, search and rescue missions, wildlife interactions from game wardens around the country and around the world. When I retired, I realized I couldn't let go of that legacy, but rather wanted to share the passion, the commitment, and the stories of those men and women that call themselves game wardens. This is Game Warden Wayne Saunders,